We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And this empty netter sends the crowd into a frenzy. Now they know they can celebrate the night away.
It will be the Vegas Golden Knights and the Montreal Canadiens in round three.
Ah, yes, that's got to be fun. That's a place where you can celebrate the night away, Vegas, you know? Nothing ever closes there. I kind of like that. That's the issue we run into in Pittsburgh. Presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. How many places are really 24/7, Steiny? Yeah,
what's
where
that?
Can you really? How many places here are 24/7?
Very few.
The casinos, our friends at the Rivers.
Maybe Sheets.
Yeah, your gas station, cuisine, made to order foods. I prefer Get Go. That's just me. Made to order foods. An occasional McDonald's might be 24/7. Not all of them. I got a Waffle House near me that never closes. That's about it. Vegas never stops. The strip's always going, man. All those places. I love that about Vegas. Don't like the fact that everything I go out there, I basically lose my shirt. Like the time I had to take a cash advance out of my credit card, I lost so much money there. That's a place you win a big series. The players probably do go out afterwards. Probably don't. They're probably getting back to their houses or homes right now. And Marc-Andre Fleury does it again. Not that he stole the series, so to speak, but he didn't play game one. They rested him. Vegas got smoked, and then with him in net, they beat the best team in the NHL this season, Colorado, because Tampa Bay was busy circumventing the salary cap, so they didn't really try. Colorado won the President's Trophy, and with Fleury in net, they beat him 4 out of 5 times. They were an unstoppable force through the first round and through the regular season, and Fleury and company stopped them dead in their tracks. This is, for Penguins fans, one of the most bittersweet things in the world. Because on one hand, Fleury is such a lovable guy and is so revered here and is so well-liked that it's impossible to really root against him. But the other side of it is that whenever he wins, whenever Vegas's entire franchise history, They're not this great expansion story where it's expansion teams are supposed to suck. They're supposed to blow ass. Like the Penguins in the late 60s and early 70s. You're supposed to stink. You're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to have to wait and be patient and take your time. Instead, with Fleury and with some shrewd general managing and boneheaded general managing by the rest of the NHL, Vegas is going to their third Stanley Cup semifinal in 4 years. And Fleury's been one of the lead reasons why in 2 out of those 3 years. Last year, we all know he got benched for Robin Leonard in the bubble, and his agent went ballistic. The Fleury thing, when this happens, a lot of Penguins fans get their black and gold pitchforks and torches out, and they get on their high horse. Now I'm mixing metaphors here. They get on their high horse, and they bitch about how, you know, fans like to brag about, many of them like to brag about how they knew, they saw this, they had clairvoyance, they had a crystal ball in front of them that showed them that Matt Murray was going to fall apart and Marc-Andre Fleury was going to go on to bigger and better things. Two things are true about what's happened to Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas. Number one is, you can admit now, hindsight being what it is, that it was a mistake to pick Matt Murray over Marc-Andre Fleury. That's evident. That's obvious. The Penguins have won one playoff series since Fleury left for Sin City, and the Knights have won seven. So they've been, it's not even really close. I don't care about regular season success. The Knights have been way better in large part because of what Marc-Andre Fleury has done for them in net. So you can say that it was a folly, it was a major mistake by the organization to pick Murray over him. But what is also true is that every general manager, and I say this without any equivocation, every single general manager in the NHL would have done the same exact thing. Every one of them. Every single one of them would have done the same thing. They would have made a handshake deal with Vegas to take Marc-Andre Fleury in the expansion draft, and they would have stood by Matt Murray. Because no general manager in his right mind, unless he was related to Marc-Andre Fleury, unless the guy was his son-in-law, although son-in-law, maybe you'd boot him out of town, your son, your brother, you know, there's blood there. Outside of that, anything short of that, and every general manager would have done the same thing. They would have jettisoned Fleury, and they would have stood by Matt Murray. No GM would have said, this 22-year-old goaltender just pitched shutouts in game 5 and 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, but we're going to get rid of him. He's only 22 years old. He just finished his rookie year. He's got 2 Stanley Cup rings to show for it. We're going to get rid of him. And Penguins fans, some of them, who are Fleury lovers, and I'm a Fleury lover. I'm a Fleury backer. Some Fleury fans and Penguins fans say things like, well, you could have gotten a haul for Matt Murray. Okay, well, explain to me, you know, go back in time and look at that offseason and show me the deal that the Penguins could have made. Show me something that they could have done. I think, you know, Tampa Bay had something similar happen where Ben Bishop got injured and Vasilevsky went in, and the rest is history for them. They've got a Stanley Cup, and maybe they'll have another one to show for it by the end of things. They practically gave Ben Bishop away, I think, to the Kings at first, and now he's in Dallas. He's older, but he was more accomplished than Matt Murray. Still, I mean, you were not going to get this idea that you were going to get a Kings ransom for Murray, to me, is, you know, total revisionist history. It's mostly revisionist history by Penguins fans. So it's bittersweet whenever you see this with Fleury. It's great because you root for him. You know what a great guy he is, what a class act he is. But at the same time, you slam your head against the wall until you're concussed because you see what the Penguins have in net now. And you hear the things that Brian Burke and Ron Hextall have been saying about Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. And if you're like me, and I'm sure you are, you're praying that what they said is complete smokescreen BS, where they're just saying nice things about those guys because they're trying to unload Tristan Jarry. They're trying to hoodwink the rest of the NHL into thinking that they actually have faith in those guys when they really don't. Vegas is in the Stanley Cup semifinals. I can't say conference finals because everything's thrown off, but they're in the NHL's Final Four again for the third time in 4 years, in large part because they didn't trade Marc-Andre Fleury back to the Penguins, which Jim Rutherford wanted to do, probably because he regretted giving him up in the first place. He picked the wrong goalie, but every general manager would have done the same thing. At least you can fall asleep at night knowing that you didn't do something that was completely bold and outside the box. The other thing that this does, Vegas getting through, is it shows you, Kevin Weeks just tweeted this. I like Kevin Weeks from NHL Network. He's a guy that I think could run. He could be a GM in the NHL. He tweeted out a few minutes ago, all the starting goalies in the semifinal round have been a Vezina finalist or winner. Elite-level goalies still make both the measurable and immeasurable impact in the National Hockey League. 100% right. There are no flukes here. There's no hot goalies left. There isn't a no-name or a guy that came out of nowhere. There's no, like, Johan Hedberg type left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's Carey Price, who makes a bajillion dollars, who knocked the Penguins out of the bubble 2 years ago. It's Varlamov, who's back in net for the Islanders after the Penguin series. That's his bugaboo. He can beat everybody else, apparently, but the Penguins. He had 7 shutouts this year. Vezina finalist. Very accomplished goaltender. Andre Vasilevsky, need I say any more? The name speaks for itself. And Fleury. who's a Vezina finalist for the first time this season and is now fourth all-time in playoff wins by a goalie behind only Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, and Grant Fuhr. What elite company. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I had my doubts when he left Pittsburgh that he would be in the Hall of Fame. Now he's a slam dunk guy based on what he's done in Vegas. So you need great goaltending. If the Penguins really do believe Jarry and Casey DeSmith are the answer and that Jarry magically next year is going to turn into an elite goaltender, they're nuts. And they're a lot dumber than, I don't think, let me put it this way, I don't think Brian Burke's that stupid. I've got a lot of respect for the guy, mostly because if I were a team president or GM, I would act the same exact way. I would call out reporters. I would talk tough. I would make bold moves. I would be mostly brutally honest. I like his style. But I hope he's lying and kidding to everyone with what he said about Tristan Jarry on our airwaves at this time last week. The other big NHL story today is that Mike Sullivan was left out of the Jack Adams Award conversation. He's not a finalist for that thing. He got snubbed. Rod Brind'Amour, Joel Quenneville, and Dana Evin, the Minnesota Wild coach, are the three finalists. I think that's bunk. I think he should have been, like, the Penguins, I think there's this expectation that they're always great because of Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, but they missed Malkin for 20-plus games. And they had their defense ravaged at the end of the year, and they didn't just make the playoffs, they won the division. The Jack Adams Award is for regular season coaching. Maybe it should be an award that takes the playoffs into account, too. It probably should. But this award, it's conducted on what you do in the regular season. Winning a division with a mostly injured team, when you were picked third or fourth to win your division, more impressive than what those other coaches did. So at the very least, he should be a finalist. I think that's a snub there. Question is, maybe for you, because I've thought about this, is, you know, how good of a coach is Mike Sullivan right now? You know, the job he's done with the Penguins in the regular season was terrific. I said it was one of the two or three best coaching jobs in the NHL. But he left a lot to be desired in the playoffs. Yeah, his team got the better of things, but I didn't see any real line changes. He was probably stubborn with his goaltender, although he had Manny. I always say Manny Legacy. He had Maxim Legacy to fall back on, and it's the preponderance of the evidence. It's not one blip on the radar. It's three straight early exits for him. But Mike Sullivan is also one of only seven coaches to win multiple Stanley Cups in the modern era. So right there, you have to call him still one of the best coaches in the league. That being said, I think he goes into next year. And if the team, they're going to play 82 games next year. If the Penguins are on the playoff bubble through 40 games, I think it gets interesting. And if their stars are struggling, and if their goaltender is floundering, then I think at that point it becomes a question. You know, the Penguins have had success when they fired coaches midseason. You can't tell me that doesn't factor into things. That there's a track record of success here when you pull the plug on a coach midseason. They've won two Stanley Cups that way. So I think that's always going to factor into things with the Penguins. It probably wouldn't for other teams, but it definitely does for them. So Mike Sullivan gets snubbed. He's not a finalist for the Jack Adams Award. One more thing came out of the playoff game last night. Nathan MacKinnon, who I think is outstanding. He's a deserving Hart Trophy finalist, the Colorado Avalanche's best player. He scores 8 goals in the playoffs, but his team loses 4 straight. They get bounced, right? So after the game, he gets asked a question about, like, what's going on with you guys? You know, how's it feel? You've now been in the NHL 9 years. You grew up in the same hometown as Sidney Crosby. You can't get out of the second round of the playoffs. MacKinnon's teams are 8-12 in second round games. They've never made it to a conference final. They've never made it to the NHL's Final Four. This is what he said.
It's always next year. It's all we talk about. I feel like, I mean, I'm going to my 9th year next year and I haven't won. So I'm just definitely motivated and I'm just sucks.
That's the state of the NHL right now, folks, for their top line players. You know, Sidney Crosby carried that mantle for such a long time and was the gold standard and is still very close to that. But the guys that have maybe knocked him off his perch as king of the NHL, best player in the league, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, the three finalists for the Hart, none of those guys have won diddly-poo, or as MacKinnon put it, a word that I can't use on the show because we're not on satellite radio, although that would be fun. That's a problem For the entire 105-year history of the NHL, the best players win championships. Alexander Ovechkin, for the longest time, was the rare exception, and then he won it and basically was drunk for three straight months, hanging out with the Stanley Cup. Just every time he was out in public, he was completely sloshed, hammered. But now you've got this passing of the torch where the guys that are the best players in the league that are in their 20s can't win a damn thing. And that's I think that's bad for the sport. When the heavy teams, the teams that are winning right now, Tampa's super skilled. Tampa's got it all. But the four teams that are in the championship round, two of them are super defensive-oriented, Montreal and the Islanders, that are built on playing system defense. And Tampa Bay is just a classically built team where they've got not a lot of holes in the salary cap era, which is hard to do unless you circumvent the salary cap, which they did. So there's your answer. And Vegas, the biggest team in the NHL, though, the heaviest team. Big and tough wins. That's Burke's preferred style. That's probably Hextall's preferred style, going back to his Philly roots, his Philly days. And that's what wins right now. Those guys say that. They don't want throwback Neanderthal barbaric hockey. Those guys, Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, are saying that because that's what wins today. Three of the four heaviest teams, biggest teams in the NHL, are still standing. Vegas 1, Tampa 2, the Islanders 3. The Canadiens are 7th. So the Canadiens were the heaviest team in the Canadian division. Think about that. The heaviest team in each division playoff made it to the semifinals. I don't think that's a coincidence. And you know what burnishes or backs up that point? The fact that Penguins brass feels the same way. So maybe they aren't that dumb. Unless they keep Jari and DeSmith into next year, and then I'll sing a different tune. So that's where we're at. Marc-Andre Fleury back into the semifinals. And I love it when the knee-jerk reaction is he should still be the Penguins goaltender. Yeah, they blew it. They got it wrong. They picked the wrong guy. But if you said Fleury back then, you were making that decision solely with your heart. And you tell me what you would have done with Matt Murray. You would have just exposed him in the expansion draft? No GM in the NHL would have done that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.